It's the Worldwide Sports Radio Network.
Little roller up along first, behind the back, it gets through Buckner, here comes Knight, and the Mets win it!
See you in Pittsburgh.
Can't wait!
Oh, fucking Buckner, can you believe it?
Tuned into Game On with Josh Silverberg and Eric Boe.
Game On!
Talking all things sports, it's
Game On!
Yeah, Game On!
Game On! Right here on the Worldwide Sports Radio Network.
He's on the show. Oh, yes, ladies and gentlemen, happy Friday to all of you here live on the Worldwide Sports Radio Network. Thank you so much for tuning into Game On. We're usually on at 6:30. We're trying for 6 o'clock p.m. Errol Marks is here with us.
Oh, my God, I'm here. Oh, where am I?
And, of course, the great and powerful Speedy Petey. Say hello, Speedy.
Yes, I am here, Josh.
Yes, I am here, Josh.
Oh, man, we have a great show lined for you, ladies. I mean, yes, Eric Boe, he is... unfortunately, out again this week. He will be out as well again next week. He should hopefully be back on the 16th. Great guest we have next week. My father, Nelson Silverberg, will be joining us live.
Oh, Nelly.
He will be live with us for the Super Bowl show. He will have a lot to say. But the beauty is I get to be with Errol again. How are you, sir?
I'm good, man. I was thinking about Nelson today. And
why? Why?
I love the word Nelson. It's not a name anymore. It's a word. We're going to say, hello there, Nelson. Nelly, Nelly, pumpkin belly. That's what
I love how you stopped yourself because you were trying to find a rhyme.
That's right.
We have a lot of news to get to. We're going to get to Corbin Burns going to the Baltimore Orioles. Does that change everything in regards to where the AL East already was? Did the Yankees close the gap with Juan Soto or did the Orioles extend that? We'll get into a little bit of that. We're going to recap Championship Sunday. It is set. The 49ers and... the Kansas City Chiefs.
You almost forgot that.
One that nobody wanted.
You almost forgot. It was Kansas City.
I did almost forget. I almost said Baltimore for a second. We'll get to the Ravens in a little bit. But at least, again, they lost, but they got Corbin Burns. So we'll do a little bit of that. Jalen Brunson, the new king of New York. Why Jeff and Snug are going to say a lot about that on the chat. We'll get into that
in
a little while.
Jeff is a newly improved, Knicks fan. He just told me yesterday. Go Knicks!
He was on drugs.
Go Knicks!
He's sniffing the cat litter again. That's what he's doing.
Well, he might be doing that or eating it. But nevertheless, I've said, and he has said, that the Knicks are number one.
And check us out, of course, on worldwidesportsradio.com, Facebook, X, formerly known as Twitter, YouTube, Podbean, Periscope, all the smart speakers, Apple Podcasts, and so much more. And also, what is the phone number again? Speedy, please say it so everybody can hear it.
631-672-3108.
And by the way, Snug, it's hashtag 400 million. Get it right.
I get it right. I don't even know what they're saying because I don't have anything in front of me for the comment section, Speedy. Yeah, we had to switch places this time because Errol is here. As the king of the Worldwide Sports Radio Network, the king had to sit on his throne, or as I like to call him, Hail Caesar, because everything he says is correct. And
I don't know about that, but
wrong.
Hey, listen. Snug was attacking me yesterday, and so was Jeff after the thing, because I said Patrick Mahomes' home was worth $400 million when it was really $400,000. So they were jumping and attacking
me. Did you do the dance? Did you do the famous dance?
No,
after?
I didn't do that.
Did you do the?
I didn't do
did
that.
You,
no,
you
no.
didn't do the dance?
I didn't do the shimmy. No, okay. I didn't.
The Tommy, the spoke shimmy?
No. No, I didn't. Absolutely not. But anyways... if you want me to do the shimmy, I'll do the shimmy.
I just tried that with the two, the S squared. Just got that. Smoke shimmy. That's
smoke
pretty good.
Shimmy. Yeah, I like that. Speedy, you like that? I think he likes that. I think Speedy likes a lot of things.
He doesn't know what to do.
Manscape.
It's a whole conversation for another day. We could do a whole hour show. Get your uncle involved in that. And we'll
shave it, baby. Shave it. My two nut sacks need it. No.
Has network producers come into the feed? Wonderful to hear. Let's get into it, ladies and gentlemen. Of course, Championship Sunday came and Championship Sunday went, and now people don't know what to do this weekend because there is no football to be had unless you want to watch the flag football garbage and all the skill stuff and everything of that nature. By the way, I have to show this to you. Did you see the new? It's so funny, the Paramount ad that they put out that's going to be for the Super Bowl.
No.
It's the funniest thing. I forget. The guy from Star Trek, he throws, you know Arnold from Hey Arnold?
Yes.
He throws his head because it's shaped like a football. and he tells, not Cameron Diaz. Who was in Charlie's Angels? She has her show. Drew Barrymore tells her to shut up. I'm going to throw the child.
Drew likes goo, like Speedy.
I got to show it to you off the air. And then also, you know, that sandwich shop I said in Brooklyn, that looked fantastic.
I said, I'll pay for it. You just got to take me out there.
That's a trip, though. That's a trip.
Are you hungry?
Grab a Snickers.
In that case, Speedy eats a lot of Snickers.
But Championship Sunday, ladies and gentlemen, came and Championship Sunday went. And, of course, Arrow and I are probably going to go back and forth on this. Mm. It is what it is. We have to deal with the conundrum in Arrow's head because he lives rent-free in Arrow's head. And as Patrick Mahomes is back in the Super Bowl once again for the fourth time in 5 years, ladies and gentlemen.
His $400, $300 million house, yes.
Well, you know what? Yes. Good for Patrick. He got there. And we consistently will say, and I am one that says this to a lot of people, say Patrick Mahomes is a guy that gets a lot of the calls. Tom Brady-esh, as people like to say, right? Mm-hmm. We like to talk about the comparison with the refs. They're feeding it to Patrick. He does this whole thing as well on third down. I'm trying to figure out what this is, though. I don't know what he does this whole thing.
I think he talks to himself.
I don't know what he's doing.
He wants to pretend his hand is Kermit the Frog, and he just, you know, speaks but it, like a puppet.
It's interesting that that happened.
Hold there. Hold there.
Hi-ho, Kermit the Frog here.
There you go. I mean, everybody, I remember when he was drafted, and when he actually was up there, and he was speaking to the press, and everybody
and
said,
we all made fun of him, and
he
now look at
sounded
him.
Like Kermit the Frog. That's what everybody said. He sounds like Kermit the Frog.
Well, it came to fruition, and the fact of the matter is he's back in the Super Bowl again. And we look at everything, we look back at this game, and we talk about it. Well, you know, Mahomes got a lot of calls. He got a lot of things like that. We understand that he did. He always does. But the truth of the matter is this. The Baltimore Ravens, in my eyes, when I watched the whole game, shot themselves in the foot multiple times. And when I say the Ravens, I say Zay Flowers and Todd Monken shot themselves in the foot with the play calling. Starting with Zay Flowers. One, he does the fumble at the 4-yard line. Fumbled it at the one when he didn't even need to dive in, by the way. He didn't even need to do that. It was totally unnecessary. And I actually kind of feel for Zay because he had an unbelievable rookie season. He's going to be up for Offensive Rookie of the Year. But he screwed up this game. He screwed the pooch, as they say. That's number one. Number two, right in front of the official, right in front of him, okay, he pushes the defender down on the ground and steps over him. And I'm saying to myself, dude, you're down 17-3. What are you doing? Why? What is the necessary point of doing this? I know you're pissed off. You're trying to get your team riled up. You're motivated. There's different ways to do that. Just move on. But instead, he took the bad judgment and he decided, hey, I'm going to do it this route and go this way. And he pushed him right in front of him. Now, don't forget, too, Kyle Van Noy literally punched Patrick Mahomes in the face.
I loved it. Absolutely loved it.
And he did not get called. And there was no call there.
There we go.
Let's talk about the Lamar Jackson interception and triple coverage when he could have ran it for 20 yards for a first down and nobody was even near him. We talk about that. Nobody wants to bring that up here on the network. Fine. I'll do it myself. If you look at the play again, Speedy, I don't know if you brought it up, but when you look at the pocket, Lamar Jackson had a good 15 to 20 yards he could have rushed for a first down. He had nobody open, and he said, I'm going to take the initiative and go that route. Instead, he threw it to who? We don't know. Anybody else but a Kansas City Chiefs player, and he didn't do that.
He tried to throw it to some fat guy eating a Snicker.
I mean, the thing of it is first off, and this is what bothers me, when you're a Ravens player, anybody that does this, why when you're in triple coverage raising your arm open like you're wide open when you're not?
Well, I usually raise my hand when I have to go to the bathroom.
That's good. Do you have to tell your teacher?
No.
Are you still at school?
Well, you're the teacher.
I was going to... You know, I always tell my students, it's the funniest thing. My students always say, so we do hand signals, like this for water, you know, tissue, water, bathroom. Because the thing is, nowadays, if you do that, it would drive me nuts. Everybody's consistently asking me. And they were like this. And I always go to them, I go, can I stop you? And they look confused. They're like,
what is the middle finger stand for?
There is, we don't have that.
I mean, in class, you're in the gym.
I'm at my wit's end by 2 o'clock when these kids are not getting what I'm saying to them. I'm like, please, like today it happened. Please, just follow the rules. Oh my goodness! But the point of it is this: the Baltimore Ravens, their defense held Kansas City to 0 points in the second half. They did. The Ravens, we could stay here and sit here and we could consistently say the Ravens got the Chiefs got the calls from the refs. In my eyes, not the second half. The Chiefs were begging the Ravens to win that football game. Fumble, bad mistakes by them, by Zay Flowers specifically. OBJ didn't exist. By the way, his father thinks Baker is a better quarterback now than Lamar. Interesting comment from that.
Well,
by the way, he'll be a Jet next year. You watch.
Odell's not going
you
to
watch.
Be a Raven next
he'll
year.
He'll be a Jet. Sure. That's what's going to happen. You know it, too. You
I
watch.
I don't want it.
You don't want it, but it will happen because guess what, ladies and gentlemen? We saw the Athletic article, and we'll get to it. Aaron Rodgers is running the show, baby, and we're all here to watch it crumble down.
We're all here to watch it and throw up. And
meanwhile, Errol's got his Jet hat on, not that's even right. The colors of the team.
It doesn't matter. It's a beautiful hat.
It looks like an old San Diego Padres
it
hat.
It is a beautiful hat. I love it.
Well, here's the thing. And I'll get Errol's take. You know, Errol's made his take of the game, so that's why I'm giving him my 2 cents here. It's a matter of what happened. And Errol doesn't agree with me, and that's fine. He and I yelled at each other on the phone the other day for 20 minutes about it. And the truth of the matter is this. The Baltimore Ravens had their shot at this game to win. They did. The Chiefs scored no points in the second half. The Ravens defense did their job. Here's what happened. Lamar Jackson, Zay Flowers, and Todd Monken completely screwed the pooch in this game because they had their opportunity to win.
Oh, I like
and
that.
They screwing
didn't. The pooch.
They did. And by the way, all of a sudden, what happened? Did the Baltimore Ravens offensive line forget to block?
Probably.
I don't understand it because here's the thing. The Chiefs have a good defensive line. It ain't that good. And the Ravens had one of the best offensive lines in football all season. But here's the problem. I think it was more, we say the refs had a problem. No, I think the Ravens fans should look at themselves in the mirror and see what happened. The Ravens did what they always do. Lamar Jackson was down in the game early, and he had to come back in the game. And he couldn't do it again. It happened against the Titans a couple years ago. It happened... I can't remember. There was another time it happened as well. Speedy would know better than me when it happened in the playoffs. When he gets down in the game, he loses it. And you see his mental state on the bench. Guys are consoling him and everything. You see it. He's gone. He's lost. The game is over. The game plan is shot. Everything is done. You've lost him. That's where the Baltimore Ravens ran their problems. You can blame the refs all you want. You can blame Mahomes being Mahomes all you want. We heard it from Arrow all week and Speedy all week on the loudmouth and everything. Sean Smith said his part as well. The truth of the matter is the Chiefs, and listen, I can't stand the Chiefs either. I can't stand them. I'm chiefed out. I'm Mahomes out. But the truth of the matter is this. We're now living in a world where not only do the Chiefs now have Patrick Mahomes, but they got a really good defense now. That's the scary thing about it. That's the crazy thing. He had nothing this year. No weapons. Other than Kelce, who knows what
happens.
That's
a pretty good weapon.
It is, but again, he was very up and down this year.
He had no weapons.
I'm talking receiver
no
wise.
No weapons, ladies and gentlemen. What about Isaiah Pacheco?
You're going to say Pacheco. Pacheco, I was getting to Pacheco as well, but his usual massive, you know,
how about Rashee Rice? What about him?
Rashee White. He's not there yet.
Did you call him Rashee Weiss?
You're putting him on a pedestal that he's not there yet.
No, he's a good number two.
He doesn't. But he's working with Marquez Valdes-Scantling. He's working with Speedy Spirit Player, Kadarius Toney. He's working with those guys. That's what he's working with. He doesn't have a bona fide stud, and yet Mahomes still plays well. Say what you will. Look at the Buffalo game. He went toe-to-toe with Allen in that game in Buffalo. Did he not?
Yeah, he did. But again, you're going through this game, and everybody forgets how good Travis Kelce is. Travis Kelce...
I never said he wasn't good.
He had 11 receptions, 116 yards.
They left him open!
Yeah, well, he was running good routes, and here's the thing.
But how do you leave a player who's the only guy on the team that is the number one target
they
open?
They should have had Humphreys defending him the whole game. Oh. Humphreys was defending Scantling the whole game. It made no sense. And that was the problem with Baltimore. I don't like the schemes that they were running. And McDonald, who just got the Seattle job, and there's a lot of questions to McDonald. He had one good year as a defensive coordinator. Last year, there was the second half, he started to pick up the game defensively and calling the plays. I'm questioning the defensive calls and what they were doing in the second half. Now, they shut down the Kansas City Chiefs in the second half. They absolutely, but... It was the first half that I think Mike McDonald didn't know what kind of scheme he can run against Patrick Mahomes. What
no, but he held them scoreless the second half.
He did.
He made game adjustments. He did. And the truth of the matter is the Ravens offense did not. They didn't.
Well, they did. They kicked the field goal, and they should have had that touchdown. It would have went to overtime.
And really quick, by the way.
It would have went to overtime.
By the way, Justin Tucker, dude, don't poke the bear, man. Why? What are you doing? Mahomes has won 2 Super Bowls. He's on the verge of going to his third.
Yeah, you see what Travis Kelce did?
Yeah, because guess what? The truth of the matter is, that's the Chiefs' side of the field. And Tucker was smiling because he knew what he was doing.
Travis Kelce is a crybaby.
He is. He knew what he was doing.
He is a kicker. But he is a kicker.
He was smiling because he did it on purpose because he thought he was being funny. Mm. It's not funny. You don't bother and poke the bear. Kelce had 11 catches for 100-something yards. It's not funny. Why give them something to be motivated about? Really? Because the Ravens lost the game. Were they laughing after the game?
Well,
was
they
over?
Lost the game because they dropped the ball on the goal line. That's what happened.
It wasn't just that. It was that, Lamar that, threw the ball in triple that was coverage.
The game, but that was the game right there. It would have
worked.
Oh,
I thought
overtime.
It was the game, too. But it, no, here's the thing. But then it was 17-10. And Lamar threw the interception at the 28-yard line with 7 minutes of the game to go. Mm. Am I wrong? Am I wrong, Speedy? No, I'm not wrong, you see? I'm not. He did that. 1st and 10 at the 28. He's throwing a ball. Why are you going for the end zone with 3 guys there on Isaiah Likely? Why?
And I know everybody wants to throw Lamar Jackson under the bus.
And I like Lamar.
He made one mistake.
It was a huge mistake.
And listen, if Flowers scores there, it goes to overtime.
But where was Lamar the whole game? Where was Lamar the whole game?
The Kansas City Chiefs defense is pretty damn
good.
But
also, where was he the first half against Houston, too?
But there were questions after that game was over. But when it came down to it in the Houston game, he showed up. He put up the numbers in the
second
fourth.
Half.
Yeah, in the fourth quarter, he dominated
but there were
the game.
There were still concerns, and everybody even said it. After that Houston game, people were still saying we're concerned because we don't see Lamar putting a full 4 quarters in a playoff game like he does in the regular season. And what is it? Is it a switch that needs to go on with the guy? I don't know, because when he gets down in a game, anytime he's gotten down in a playoff game, He's lost.
That's most quarterbacks.
No, it's not.
Yes, it is. Tom Brady is one of very few. Patrick Mahomes is one of very few. There are not many
quarterbacks. Brock Purdy's done it twice this playoffs.
Okay, Brock Purdy. And what was the score when Brock Purdy came back? And again, everybody keeps talking about the Lions. The Lions made the mistakes.
Oh, we're going to get
it
to the Lions. Okay.
It wasn't Brock Purdy.
We're transitioning.
It wasn't Brock Purdy that brought that team back into the game.
No, it wasn't. It was
the mistakes.
The Lions completely screwed up. We'll get to the Lions right now, and it's perfect timing because here's the reality. Dan Campbell completely screwed up, I think, on the 4th and 2. It would have been a 3-score game, up 17. You have them on the ropes.
It's not Dan Campbell's fault.
It is.
No,
you
it's
have
not.
Them on the ropes. Here's what I look back to.
The players made the mistakes on the field.
That's
not
fine,
Dan Campbell.
But it was unnecessary. It's a 3rd quarter. This is not week 12 of the NFL season.
He's been doing it forever.
You don't do it in a playoff game for the Super Bowl.
This is what he believes. He's followed his beliefs.
And it didn't work.
This time it didn't. This is a rookie coach that's gone into the playoffs for the first time this
third
far.
Year as the coach
yes,
of the Lions.
And they've never been to an NFC title game, have they?
Yes, they have. They lost.
1983.
That's fine.
1983.
The last cup you'll ever see.
And listen, I think that Dan Campbell had a lot to say at the press conference, and he told his team at the press conference, we might never be here again. But I disagree. If they fix up that secondary, which is really...
Well, no, I think they will be back. They will. And listen, it's easier said than done, right? An injury can
look
happen.
Look how long it took the 49ers to get back there.
Of course. But here's the thing. Well, no, the 49ers are always in the NFC Championship.
No, I'm talking about the Super Bowl.
But here's the thing. You have the momentum. You're now up three scores. Three scores. You keep it there, and you continue the pressure because you were still – here's the thing. Even when San Francisco was coming back, they were still driving the ball up and down the field on the defense. It didn't make a difference. So if you continue the pressure and put it on the Niners, I don't think they're coming back. I don't. The problem was that mistake compiled, and it just was an avalanche that unfolded, that just completely just – it ransacked the Detroit Lions as a whole. Reynolds, who had been, who Speedy remembers, 2 weeks ago, I said Josh Reynolds is the X Factor on the Detroit Lions. I gave him compliments. He had a great year this year, Reynolds. He screwed up. Gibbs, he screwed up. But the fact of the matter is, you go up three scores. You're now telling Brock Purdy, beat us up three scores. Now let's see you try to do this. And they weren't doing that much on the offensive side when they had the momentum.
The problem was is it's Johnson. And Ben Johnson's coming back again as the offensive coordinator for the Lions next year. He decided not to take the Washington job. He already came out and said
mistake,
they didn't want
the
Seattle job. I don't think it is a mistake. But Ben Johnson wanted to obviously coach this team because he believes that this team can go all the way.
You have a
year.
Chance at the you have a chance to pick your quarterback. You have salary cap space.
It doesn't matter.
Owner.
The problem is where.
Who are getting a new stadium, by the way.
Where you look at this game, and especially in the second half, in the third quarter to be exact, it was the play calling of Ben Johnson. It wasn't Campbell's fault. And I'll tell you this. Campbell's been doing this all year long. Now, the two field goals that he could have kicked, even if he kicked those field goals, it would have still ended up 34-33, and the 49ers
but
still
would have
won.
Thing,
hold
but,
on.
No.
Hold
but
on.
If there's a field goal, if there's a field goal that gets kicked, there's 17. Once that pass is dropped by Reynolds, the Niners get a stop on defense. Their confidence is launched at that point.
That's
now
fine.
We got them.
That's fine.
Because they've been there before.
But I blame the guy that was calling the plays, and that's Ben Johnson. And Ben Johnson, throughout the season, especially in the Cowboys game, some of the play calling he had in that game, I would say.
I'm yelling more than normal, by the way.
What happened?
I'm yelling more than normal. That's I don't ever fine. Do this. I usually, Eric and I, Eric's so subtle.
He's so monotone. That's why. But no offense to Eric, but he's monotone. He's a very monotone guy. But
I would say he's very chill. He's laid back.
Monotone.
He's the laid back
that's
one,
monotone,
and I'm the more loud, rambunctious
but,
one.
But here's the thing. If you look at the game against the Cowboys, even when the Cowboys lost, even though the Lions lost that game because of just bad reffing at the end of the game, the play calling in the fourth quarter was horrendous by Ben Johnson. And Ben Johnson, as much as everybody thinks this guy's a genius, he came out in the middle of the season when everybody was talking about him being the lead candidate for maybe two or three jobs, that he wanted $15 million and be the lead, the highest paid coach in the NFL. There's a lot of questions when you want to blame somebody. And like Snug said, you could spread the game, or you can spread the blame around. And Dan Campbell is the coach. He's going to take the responsibility as he did at the end of the game. But if you really look at the game and you look at the whole big picture, it was the players. It wasn't Dan Campbell that dropped the ball. Gibbs dropped the ball. That's one. Number two, it's not Dan Campbell calling the plays. It's Ben Johnson calling the plays. So you
the play calls were fine.
No, they weren't. No,
the one,
they weren't.
The one that Reynolds.
Where was,
the
where
one
was
the
David
Reynolds.
Montgomery? David Montgomery had, 90 yards running? Or what was it? No, I'm sorry, 82 yards in the first half of the game. And then in the second half, he, had 16 yards in the second half? You should have been feeding him the ball. It wasn't Gibbs that was having a big game.
Hold on.
It was David Montgomery. Who has been the better running back this year in a lot of the quality games? It was David Montgomery. Why aren't you feeding him the rock? Why are you giving it to Jahmyr Gibbs? I understand he's a rookie. I understand that they want to give this guy some confidence because he's going to be the future of this organization. He is a rookie. You give it to the veteran guy. You give it to your veteran players. And Reynolds, he had a lot of drops.
He had a lot of drops. On fourth and two, the play call was a good execution. It was right to Reynolds. He dropped it. It went out of his hands. That's one that they should have gotten. But I digress. We're going to move on because here's the thing. We're never going to agree to this. Erwin and I will never agree to this. He's saying it's not Campbell's fault. I think he's massively partially to blame for this. Not even partially, he's massively to blame for this because here's the thing. You have the momentum. It's a three-score game. Once that ball is dropped by Reynolds, the momentum is gone for Detroit. It's out. It's zipped out of them, and San Francisco's got it all. And look what they did. They drove down the field. Boom, 24-17. They go for it. Then Gibbs fumbles the ball. Boom, 24-24. It's gone. It's over. It's over. It's done. That's why you don't go for it. It's the same thing. Before we go to a break, the Baltimore Orioles trading for Corbin Burns. And Errol says that the Orioles apparently gave up a lot. They did not. They gave up one top 100 prospect, a guy outside the top 100, and a compensation second round pick for Corbin Burns. That's not a lot.
They're not keeping him.
They got a new owner.
They're not.
They got a new owner.
They're not paying him.
They got a new owner.
They're not paying him.
Well, let me tell you, they got a new owner, so why else would they maybe make this trade? Because they feel confident they're keeping him.
Okay. And here's the thing.
A friend of mine was saying to me today with the Yankees, they were saying, why didn't the Yankees do this? Because the Yankees are trying to find starting pitching. You know, you could have traded who was it? Hampton on the Yankees, the prospect that they have. What's his face?
On the Yankees?
Yeah. He's like 97th overall in baseball.
The prospect on the Yankees.
I can't remember. I got a feeling with the Yankees.
Why? What
they were saying that you could have traded that and prospect outside the top 100 and a compensation pick for Burns. And the prospect would have been rated higher than the Orioles.
Maybe the Yankees are interested in just going after him in the offseason.
Chase Hampton, is that the prospect?
Thank you. Speedster. Thank you, sir.
Speeder.
So I think the reason why the Yankees didn't want to do it.
Of course.
I think the reason why the Yankees didn't want to do it was because they didn't want two Boris clients on expiring contracts on their team. That's the thing. And who's Boris going to put as his number one priority in the offseason? As a client, is it going to be Burns or Soto? Who's the guy? I know who it is. You'll be surprised if I say it is.
No, it isn't.
I think it's Burns because he's a pitcher. Because you look at the pitching market today, Snell, Montgomery, all of them still available, right? Seasons, pitchers and catchers in 2 weeks. The pitcher is always going to get the higher end of the attention from the agent because they need to make sure that pitcher gets the contract for the long term because their arm can go out, anything like that. Whereas an everyday player, it's easier to get a contract like that because they play. Look at Shohei Ohtani. Got it. No problem, right?
Baltimore is not winning the World Series, Snug.
Wait a minute.
They're not.
Wait a minute. Why not? They won 101 games last year.
And they got knocked out in the first round.
Because they didn't have an ace. Now they have an ace in Burns.
One guy doesn't win you championships.
I'm not saying one guy. But first off, they don't even have the number one prospect.
They couldn't even hit in the playoffs.
First off, they don't even have the number one prospect coming in now. He's coming in this year. Jackson Holliday.
Did you hear about that? And I know who Jack Holliday is. Okay, I do
Who's
know
who Jack Holliday, Jack the Ripper,
Matt Holliday's son,
signed Guerrero, Vladimir Guerrero's son.
Babe. Oh my God, did you hear that, Vladimir?
Speed, did you hear that? Did you know that they did that?
Yes, I did.
God. We'll see how good he is.
Oh, let's.
He won't be that good.
Let's sign every single former player's son. Let's do it.
And it worked for the Blue Jays.
As of right now,
Dante Bichette and Vlad Guerrero worked for them.
Kevin Biggio turned out really well.
Well, that's the only one. Hey, listen, Bo Bichette and Vlad Guerrero Jr. worked out.
Oh, Bichette's phenomenal. And yeah.
Well, Biggio started off really, really good for the first 2 years.
He was all right.
Yeah, he was good.
Yeah, but he was always the lower-end guy of the three.
Of course.
He was always the lower-end guy of the three. But you were saying about Jackson Holliday and you know him or something?
No, we interviewed one of his coaches. He was on our show.
And what did his coach say?
He says he's a great player.
I would hope so.
He's a great player, but that doesn't guarantee anything, guys.
But to say, but here's the thing. The Orioles won 101 games last year.
I understand. And,
and now they just got Burns and they have Holliday coming, but you're saying that you don't think they're going to be as
no,
good?
No, because I think the division's going to be a lot better.
Where is it going to be better?
The Yankees are going to
be
a lot
better.
Do you
think the Yankees close the gap?
I think the Yankees are going to be a lot better.
No, I'm saying they'll be better. Do you think they close the gap
100%,
on the Orioles? 100%, yes. In what way did they do that?
Well, you added Juan Soto.
Okay, that's one.
And I think you gave yourself a good number three, possibly number four, in Marcus Stroman.
No.
You say, oh no, but we've had two experts on the
Speedy,
show.
He said it.
We've had two experts on the show, and every single one of them
that's
told
nice.
Us.
Do the experts pitch?
Here's the thing.
Before the second half,
did Marcus Stroman not pitch an all-star caliber?
He does that every year.
Okay, and what happened? They used him too long in the innings. The Yankees already said.
Too long in the innings? He's been pitching in the majors for years already. He's on an innings limit, Stroman?
Yes, for the Yankees, he is. The Yankees said they'd only want him for five innings.
Let me tell you, last year,
he was pitching almost seven innings over there with the Cubs in the first half. He blew out his arm. Okay, so stop sitting here and telling me that you don't think what are you going to say if Marcus Stroman starts to pitch very well in this rotation going into the second half this year? What are you going to say? Oh, the Yankees
are
lucky?
I'm not going to say anything. Here's what I'm more concerned about. Are you ready? You're a Met fan. I ask you this because if he stinks and Yankee fans on Twitter,
Snug, why don't you shut up, man? You open your big fat mouth. Why don't you pull your beard and shove it up your damn ass, okay?
You don't know
what the hell you're talking about. That's one. Number two, and you say the experts don't, but the experts know a lot more than your fat ass does. How about that? You don't know crap. Why don't you go eat your cupcakes and shut the hell up?
Oh, where were we? Oh, about you. Let me ask you this.
You were asking me something about being a Mets fan.
Here's the thing. If he craps the bed, and you know how sensitive he is on social media, because you know, and I'm gonna say this, hold on. He thinks when everybody's against him, they're a racist. Am I wrong? He thinks everybody's a racist that's against him. He always does that. He brings that up. If he craps the bed, and by the way, they have Alex Verdugo, too, who, you know, he has a good relationship with Yankee fans, too. And which, by the way, and I do believe the Yankees can win a division. I would hope they do. They have two of the best hitters in baseball on their lineup.
Do you think the Yankees have the very good leadership? Do you?
No.
I think they do.
I don't.
I do. I think they have very good leadership.
I don't think
leadership.
The leadership is there.
Aaron Judge is a good leader.
He hasn't shown me.
Really? How has it not shown?
Have
you heard anything in that locker room at the end of the season? Did you hear anything after the Yankees
lost? What is
there
to hear about? They lost.
But you don't. That's the thing. You have to look
at
leadership.
I heard Brian Cashman have a conniption
That's Brian Cashman. Brian Cashman is not in the locker
room. Oh, you're right. I forgot.
He's on the outskirts.
Above.
That's right. He's an executive.
Right.
He's
the face of the organization. I forgot about that.
Well,
yes.
The fact is, when you look at the locker room was they backed up. Obviously, Aaron Boone. Aaron Boone came back.
That's fine. It
doesn't matter. But you have to understand the leadership in the locker room. They have the leadership. Marcus Stroman is not going to go all around yapping his big mouth on social media. It's not going to happen. Garrett Cole's a big leader over there. So is Aaron Judge. You have these veteran players over there that have been veterans everywhere they've gone. I guarantee you he will not be doing that on social media. I guarantee you. I guarantee it. You want to bet?
We'll bet.
Let's bet.
Fine.
All right, let's bet. I'll bet you that Marcus Stroman will not be on social media throwing himself to the wolves.
Oh, 100%. And if he gets booed off the mound, you don't think he's going to have a problem?
No, because I don't think he will. He's going to be the third or fourth guy in this rotation. It's not over. The Yankees are going to add another arm.
Do you want to know what the problem with we keep saying that. Where is it?
Well, you see, Blake Snell, he's not signed yet.
He's not hired.
He's not hired yet.
He's not hired. Well, I think the bullpen is also in question, too. I thought Hader would have been a good one, too. But Hader going to the Astros was a big get for Houston because that shortens their
They added some arms, and the Yankees always add these arms you never even heard of, or guys that come from teams.
I mean, the Wandy Peralta contract is crazy. I know. I mean, it's an opt-out every single year, which is insane. He got a 4-year deal with an opt-out every single year, which I've never heard of. But I mean, it is what it is.
The Yankees always find arms. I'm not really worried about the Yankees bullpen because they always find these arms.
It's injuries.
Yeah, well, that's what happens every single year. You can't
Torres and. And who else? I got to see what Nestor still is. What is Nestor? Rodon, what is he? Rodon's a mess. He's blowing kisses to the fans. I got to see what he is. Because right now I get Carl Pavano vibes. Mm. I'm sorry. That's the best I could give you. Mm. When we come back, there's a new king in New York. No, it is not Aaron Judge. And Henrik Lundqvist has been gone for a while. We'll tell you who it is. And he plays on the hardwood. And no, it is not Mikal Bridges. When we come back here on Game On.
It is the Worldwide Sports Radio Network.
Game On! Game on.
We're back.
He shoots, he scores.
You're listening to Game On with Josh Silverberg and Eric Bowe.
You know, of course.
And myself, Eric Bowe.
Josh Silverberg with me tonight. Errol Marks. Eric Bowe will be back in a few weeks.
It's BPD
on, of course, the board. You can check us out at worldwidesportsradio.com. I always get confused. See, it's weird. Like, I don't know why Errol throws me off when he's on the show, and I get confused when I come back from breaks. But nevertheless,
I feel great.
What are you doing?
He's giving you the keyboard so you can look things up. He's trying to be nice.
Would you like to research stuff, Josh?
I would love to, but it throws me off my game because I got to.
I got to
go tit for tat with him tonight, and it's a pain in the ass.
I think he wants to research.
All right,
about
I'll take
horse.
It back then.
I think he wants to.
No, you'll leave it there.
I think he wants to investigate a horse's anal.
No, I don't.
Wow, let's talk about that for a minute, because there's no Super Bowl this weekend, so we have till next week, so let's talk about that.
I haven't rode a horse since I was a kid, and he claims
I'm
obsessed
with
horses.
That's not what we're talking about.
But we spoke about that the horse rides you, right?
No.
On that table over there.
Could you imagine a horse riding him?
Speed would be dead on the floor.
Insert me!
Are you okay? He's not okay, by the way. You owe him Texas chicken and burgers now. Right, Speedy?
Well, we had White Castle last night.
Let me tell you, I haven't had White Castle in so freaking long. I haven't had it in years.
It's good, man. It's good.
Well,
Speedy loved it.
I thought you were going to say
something,
I paid
Speedy for it.
Well, it was funny. I was talking about, really quick, before we get to the whole stuff with the Knicks, I was showing Errol this. So I was talking to Errol about it. It's different when you get a visual of it than when you hear about it. There's a deli in Brooklyn. It's like you know, you always see the chopped cheese here in New York. That's what it's big for, right? This place is called, it's called the Farmer in the Deli, and it's in Brooklyn, and it's the only place where you get all of this. You put all the meats and the cheeses, all this stuff together, and you chop it up, and you put it into one sandwich, and you put mayo in there and all that stuff. The cool thing was when you eat it, you get a flavor in every bite. That's what they say, right?
Eat it.
You know?
And beat it.
That's literally what it looks like. And I showed it to Speedy. Speedy was like, that looks really good too. But it looks like chicken salad.
Speedy, would you eat it? Would you eat it? Is it good for you?
Yes. I would eat that sandwich. Yeah.
I would eat it. A long sandwich, right? Nice and
the
long.
The one that Josh showed, not some weird twisted thing you're trying to
do. Let me ask you, Aaron, when you saw the video, you were like, oh, we have to go then.
That's right.
I'll go.
I'll pay for it. You'd have to drive.
I mean, that's the thing.
You have to drive.
Because at first I was talking to Aaron about it. He's like, oh, it's a deli. Who cares? It's a deli. Who cares? Then he saw the video. He was like, oh, crap. We don't have that on Long Island, so maybe we should go. Because I tried looking for it on Long Island, a place like that. Not here. I mean, I go to Seaport Deli a lot, but the thing is, Seaport Deli is pricey.
Mm.
But it's like $18 for a sandwich.
It's really expensive.
It's so good though. Like this, I get the Jacob DeGrom there, dude. It's so freaking good though.
You know what? And just so everybody knows, if you ever been to the Seaport, deli, they have all ex-Met pitchers. They got a bunch of Met players.
Anthony Kay is there.
All of them. They're
Jacob
all
DeGrom,
up there.
Daniel Murphy, Mick Foley's got his own cheeseburger there.
Mickey Foley. Yeah, he was actually there. He eats there a lot.
He does.
Yes, he does.
He still is an idiot. Kevin, I don't know if they have a Kevin James one.
Yes, he
I don't
does.
Think,
yes, they do.
But they don't have
yes,
a, they do. Do they?
Yes, they do. They have a Kevin James, yes.
I mean, you always go to Jimmy John's, which is right on the corner, but
Jimmy
not the
J,
same.
Baby. Jimmy J, give me the food. You like that, Speedy? I think he does.
Speedy's talking to you.
I don't know. Let's get into the Knicks.
I don't care.
Let's get into the Knicks, right?
And I don't care.
And what came out is this. There's a new king in New York. It's not Aaron Judge.
I don't give a rat's
ass. It's not Henrik Lundqvist, and it sure as hell ain't Mikal Bridges. Because, again, if you go to a Brooklyn Nets game, that's like helping a small local business. So we're going to go with the Brooklyn Nets being losers. That is the New York Knicks and thriving with a 9-game winning streak up to third place in the Eastern Conference, a half a game behind Milwaukee.
Oh, Doc Rivers, Milwaukee,
for second place.
Buckaroos.
By the way, the greatest thing that could have happened to the Knicks getting into the
Doc
second seed
Rivers.
Was Doc Rivers going to the Celtics. What's going to the
going
Bucks.
To Milwaukee Buckies, the little Buck boys.
And it's crazy
Buck
because,
beaters.
You know, when you look at it and you look at everything that's going on with the New York Knicks, you're looking at Quentin Grimes is out, Mitchell Robinson's been out, OG Anunoby's been out, Julius Randle's out. So all these things. And I'm watching the game last night, and they're down by 11. I'm like, all right, it's not their night. It's not going to happen. you know, I was texting my brother about and everything like that. I usually would text Errol during Nick games, but he had a show last night. But I usually do text Errol during Nick games. And
don't worry, Speedy was yelling at me throughout the show.
Oh, what else is new? But
or I was yelling at him.
Yeah, I was going to say. Wasn't it the other way around? Well, unless you say something perverted, then he'll yell at you.
No! No!
But it, basically, when you're watching that game, I'm saying to myself, it's not their night. This is not going to happen. It's over. Halliburton and Siakam and Turner, it's too much. They don't have the depth. They don't have the length. You're gonna say you want to say something to him for getting up to the table, don't you?
No, I don't care.
I thought you did.
I don't care.
But to me, what I really thought that was stood out last night, and they weren't shooting great either. They were, I think, 4 for 17 at one point from the 3-point range. Yep. DiVincenzo was terrible the first half.
20 points, baby.
That was when I said to myself, are definitely not winning this game. But all of a sudden, we look back at this RJ Barrett, Emmanuel Quickley deal. Mm-hmm. And now we sit there and we say, boy, did the Knicks crush Toronto in this deal? Because I don't think Quickley's staying with the Raptors, and that's gonna kill Toronto. He's not. And mm-hmm. Barrett's having a good time so far with Toronto.
That's his hometown.
Here's what it shows me, and I've said this to people consistently in my texts. RJ Barrett was the anchor. He was the anchor. Nobody wanted to believe it. I know, Errol, you liked him a lot.
I always did.
And you know how I felt about him. I was very back and forth with him all the time. I was hit and miss with him. The thing of it is, RJ Barrett needed the ball in his hands when a guy who doesn't shoot the ball very well. Mm-hmm. And that's the problem. OG Anunoby doesn't need the ball in his hands. He could spread the floor. Oh, my father's getting involved. See? My father said the day of the trade,
Papa's got a brand new bag.
He said, he did say the day of the trade, he said it was a great deal for the Knicks. First of all, my dad hated RJ Barrett. He thought he was a problem because he said, this is a guy that needs the ball in his hands too much that doesn't know how to shoot the ball well. So I don't understand why he gets the ball so much.
Who was he talking about?
Barrett.
Here's the thing. I know everybody likes to point fingers and say that Barrett was the reason why the Knicks
he was a big problem.
He probably was a big problem in the locker room. Here's the thing. OG.
And what school did he go to, by the way?
What do you mean, what school? Duke.
Oh, there's a problem itself.
Do you want me to mention all the Wisconsin players that came from Wisconsin?
In the words of Mike
never
Breen.
Amounted anything?
In the words of Mike Breen. Bang!
Here's the thing. And the OG Anunoby thing was really, and Leon Rose has been wanting to go after OG Anunoby for the last 2 years.
Forever.
For the last 2 years, and Toronto had no reason to trade him. And then going really out of nowhere on a Saturday morning, you hear that the Knicks made a big trade.
Very random.
And by the way, ESPN,
I texted
CBS,
it to you.
Yep, Yahoo. Every single
You hated
morning,
it when it first happened.
Because here's the reason why I hate it. I'm going to just be honest here. You gave up Emmanuel Quickley. You gave up their bench. You gave up guys that are going to be consistent off the bench. But here's the thing. I understood who OG Anunoby was. I didn't think he was going to be that transitional player that's going to make Julius Randle play and understand what his role is. Mm-hmm. Julius Randle.
He finally did.
Figured out, hey, you know what? My role is different on this Knick team. And there are different teams since the OG Anunoby move. And what makes OG Anunoby so unique and so different is because he can defend multiple positions. This guy is a second team all-pro NBA player. This is all-defensive player. This guy can absolutely dominate on the defensive side of the ball. And by the way, very athletic. He reminds me of a younger Jimmy Butler, a younger Kawhi Leonard. Now,
which is so weird, by the way. Did you see what came out the other day?
No.
It was the weirdest thing. They were saying that the Heat could trade Jimmy Butler and the Knicks were the favorites for him.
I could see that.
I'm like,
I could see that.
Where?
That report got defeated, I think, yesterday. I think
I was going to say,
no.
I saw that too. Because I'm that's like, why would Miami anymore. Why would Miami do that? First off, Pat Riley's never trading with the Knicks. That's number one. Mm. Okay, we know that's they have a grudge.
Depends on what they're offering.
Yeah, they're not doing that. You know, that's definitely, you know. So,
but what are you lost over there? You trying to answer a phone or something?
Yeah, something like that happened. I don't know.
Papa's got a brand new bag over there. But no, but I think that what's really changed for the New York Knicks, first of all, is the chemistry. They have a tremendous amount of chemistry. Ever since they brought DiVincenzo in the offseason, I was questioning the move because of what he is and what type of player he is. He's a great defensive player. He's a good perimeter defender. The question was how much are they going to pay him? And they gave him a good contract. Now, I didn't watch him enough. I did watch him a couple of times in Villanova when Jalen Brunson was there and Mikal Bridges was there, because I actually like Villanova. And my one of my closest friends actually went to Villanova. So I know Villanova basketball. I love what they did over the last, 10 years. But I understand what the Knicks needed. And the Knicks got that type of player at OG Anunoby. And then you look at Precious and what he has done ever since.
He is the prince, and Brunson's the king. A chua, baby!
Harnstein has been sensational. He really has been. He's taken over.
I think Mitch might have lost his starting job.
No,
I don't know.
No, he didn't.
Speedy, what do you think?
No.
What
definitely
do you think?
Not.
They need too much size. Yes. Harnstein can play a four.
Yes.
Fine.
But he's not going to play four because Randall will be the four if
Randall
he comes back.
Randall will be back.
Yeah, so it will be.
But here's the thing. Is Randall going to be? This is the problem. Randall was getting it going. He was starting to get a flow. Now he's going to come back. The playoffs are going to be around the corner. Is this going to be like the ankle thing last year?
No, I don't think so.
I hope you're right.
No, I don't think so, because the Knicks have the depth, even more depth than they've ever had. And now you could trust that DiVincenzo can take over a game and score. You have OG Anunoby that could score at will when he needs to.
And big
to.
News that happened before the show started. Actually, the Knicks sat down with Rich Paul today, who's, again, the higher agent in the NBA. One of the higher agents who's with a lot of superstars. And a lot of players were not going to the Knicks because of Rich Paul. And they had a sit down
today.
They had a sit down today, and they buried the hatch, and everything's all good, which is ginormous. Because here's the reality: I think what happened was a lot of his superstar players are now telling Paul, "I want to go to the Knicks. Figure this out." That's what I think they were probably telling him. Mm. You need to figure this out and figure this problem out, because I want to go to New York and play with Brunson. So that was what I think they needed to hash everything out. It got hashed out, which is huge. And ginormous now, but when it comes to where the Knicks are and everything like that.
Ginormous!
Where they are in regards to the trade deadline, which is next Thursday.
Yep.
There's a lot of things that are going to, they still need another scorer, I think, off the bench. They need another guy off the bench.
I just snorted, by the way.
I know, yeah.
I just snorted.
I really do, and I've said this. Speedy knows. I said this when he filled in last week.
DeJounte Murray.
If they were to get a DeJounte Murray, who is a very good two-way player. You put him. Here's the deal. You could get Murray. You could put him at the two. Put DiVincenzo on the bench, and DiVincenzo then takes over the quickly role. And then you don't have to get anybody else. You're getting an offensive, and I think Murray would fit like
second,
a glove.
2 years ago, he's second team All-NBA.
NBA defensive. Murray would fit really well. He comes from Greg Popovich's school.
Yeah.
He would fit really well with Tibbs. And again, then you don't need to get a Brogdon or a Burks, because you could just move DiVincenzo to the quickly row as the first guy off the bench.
Yep.
I think that would solve a lot of problems. You lengthen the depth of your lineup. That's why I think a guy like Murray would fit. I don't think they're going to do it. I mean, I'm hearing that they want to maybe try for Mikal Bridges from Brooklyn. They would have to trade like five first-round picks, I'm hearing.
I don't think
not
so.
Do.
I don't think they have
they
to give up that
the whole,
much.
They want the Villanova thing.
Think,
that's what they want.
I think if you trade Grimes and three first-round draft picks, I think you could seal the deal and get Mikal Bridges. Because next year, he's a free agent.
Does Bridges put them over the top?
Yes, absolutely does. Because now, you don't have to bring Julius Randle. He doesn't sign. He doesn't take his player option next year. Mikal Bridges moves right
but
into there.
Yeah, but does Rose want a star? Or does he want to
Mikal
go after?
Bridges is a star.
No. But does he want a superstar to go with Brunson?
I don't think you need a superstar with this team. You have one in Jalen Brunson. He's becoming a superstar. He really is. If you watch that game against Indiana, look at the numbers he put up in
there
the second half. What? There you go. What?
There you go. My father said Mikal Bridges. That's what he wants.
I like Mikal Bridges.
Or Devin Booker, which is not going to happen.
No, Devin. And here's the thing. I said this before the season started. I knew the Suns were not going to play well with the players.
Do you still want Luka, Speedy?
Luka's going nowhere.
Yes, but he's not going anywhere.
Not with the new ownership over there. There's no way. They're going to pay him
more. Everything Kyrie touches turns to poison.
Luka's going
nowhere. By the way, let me tell you, did you see their 26-22? They have the ninth spot right now. They might be out of the playoffs.
Do you want me to get
a lottery pick.
Do you want me to tell you why Luka is not? And I'm going to say this. Luka's not leaving there. I'm going to tell you why. Because Mark Cuban sold the team. And when he sold the team, he sold the rights to the team just to be
But he still has control.
Yes, he has control. because they're building a casino over there in Dallas. And they're going to build a stadium around the casino. And Luka Doncic not only will make money off the deal that he's going to get from the Dallas Mavericks when he becomes available, not only that, the endorsements and the money he's going to bring in offsetting that. He is not leaving Dallas. I did at one point think that was going to happen. I think Mark Cuban knew that, and he wanted to sell the team. And to me, Mark Cuban's still in control of, you know, player personnel and everything like that. I just think it makes a lot of sense why I don't believe Luka Doncic is leaving.
And here's the thing. I don't think...
Just like Giannis was going, and here's the wasn't thing. Going
I,
to leave.
I think Knicks fans have to get this out of their head, and it stinks, but I don't think Donovan Mitchell is a part of their future. I don't.
Jalen Brunson's become the player that he's become.
No, he's not. I honestly think, my opinion, I think it's Mikal Bridges is the guy that I think they're going to try. Or, as I said, they've talked to Atlanta about DeJounte Murray, because if they feel Murray could give you 20-something points a game and play stellar defense... And again, as I said, if you play a team like the Celtics in the playoffs, you could put OG on Tatum, you could put Robinson if he's back on Porzingis, and you could put Murray on Brown. How are you scoring on that team? How? And then you make up the point differential with Brunson and Randall.
And Mikal Bridges is a good defender, too.
No, he is. But the thing is, Bridges would have to play the two with Randall here, which he's not really a two. That's the issue. He's a four.
This is how you beat the Celtics. You make them one-dimensional. That's how you beat them.
Which is what I think if you got a Murray with all... Think about DeJounte Murray, OG Anunoby, Mitchell Robinson, all the guys on the floor together, defensive juggernauts on that team. How are you scoring against that team?
If you watch the game with the Knicks and Denver Nuggets about a week ago and how the Knicks completely dominated the game, what did the Knicks do better than the Denver Nuggets in that game? One, they out-rebounded them. Number two, they made them one-dimensional.
Out-hustled them, too.
Yes, one-dimensional. And that's another thing. I got to give Tom Thibodeau a lot of credit. And I think he's up for Coach of the Year once again, and he's going to get a new contract. He finally changed his scheme of running his offense. You would have never thought that Tom Thibodeau was going to be a running-gun type of coach.
He talked to Speedy, that's why.
Maybe he did. Maybe Speedy, right, Speedy? Taught him how to ride a horse. Right, Speedy? I would say he probably taught Tom Thibodeau. I could never see Tom Thibodeau on a horse, by the way. Could you imagine that fat ass?
What did I say to you? What did I say to you?
Do you ever see his faces when he makes?
What did I say
to
you?
Look at those faces.
I love when Brunson always daps him, and he always looks miserable when Brunson daps him every time.
But look at my face.
Wait, what did I say to you? I think I said to you, I said, when you're next to Tibbs, do you think he smells?
Probably he smells like ass, right, Speedy? What do you think? If he does, maybe a horse's ass. Speedy likes to ride those.
Again, like I said, the Knicks are in a good place right now. I think Mikal Bridges and DeJounte Murray, those should be the two targets for them. Mm. Murray, because again, if you get Murray, you can put DiVincenzo on the bench. You lengthen your bench. Boom, you don't have to get another player. Murray's your number two. You get Bridges. Bridges will solidify that, so Randall gets back. Randall comes back. You move Bridges to the two. Randall goes. Unless maybe Randall wants to come back. Mm. He might. He might take the player option.
No, he's not.
I don't know.
He's not.
He doesn't want to leave. I can tell you, he does not want to leave. He has said it. He doesn't want to leave.
He's not taking
the
player
option. Guaranteed to win in this city. He wants to win a championship. And I think he's finally realizing it. Look how happy he is RJ Barrett has
who
left.
Who would you rather, Mikal Bridges or... your friend, Julius Randle.
He's not my friend, but why not both?
Why would you want both?
Why not?
It's too much.
I don't know if it's too much, because I think guys will know their roles, because I think Randle's starting to figure out his role. The more the merrier, I think, as you say, because here's the thing.
Randle would be pissed off that he's like a fourth option now?
No. I don't think so.
Because Mikal Bridges would be the second option.
No, because Randle was the number one option, and then he realized that Brunson's now the number one option. It hit, slapped him in the face.
Jalen Brunson is the number one option. If Mikal Bridges comes to the team, he's the number two option.
Yeah.
And the number three option would probably...
Randle. It's Randle.
I don't know, man.
It's Randle still. Who would be ahead of him?
OG and
Randle is a better offensive player than OG is.
How do we know what OG and Anunoby is? He's never got a chance to be offensive over there in Toronto.
He's a three and deep guy. That's what he is. He has his spots on the corner.
I disagree. I think he's a lot better than you think he is offensively.
It's not that, but the numbers speak for itself. He had more of an opportunity in Toronto. He was the number one scorer.
No, but they
who
only use him as a
one-dimensional
player. And in Tom Thibodeau's offense, he lets him run and gun. He lets him go up and down the court and use his athletic ability. I think OG Anunoby could be a third
option. I absolutely think he can be. But look, I also think DeJounte Murray would have to figure it out. Listen, DeJounte Murray knew how to do it in Atlanta with Trae Young. But the thing is, I think Murray has lost.
Did he? They never won anything.
He lost motivation because the team stinks. Trae Young lost motivation. Yeah, Trae, that's exactly it. So I think if he goes, the problem is Atlanta doesn't believe in defense.
Why doesn't Atlanta trade him? Trae Young, he stinks. He's horrible, man. Overrated, and they paid him a lot of money. Mm. Boy, oh boy, did they pay him a lot of money. Huh?
You know what I'm saying? But now it's time for our last segment, which is the You're Better Than That.
You're Better Than That.
And that segment is basically we talk about something that bothered you that we didn't talk about tonight.
Well, let's do it.
All right, you want me to go first?
Yeah, you go.
Mine is easy, the first one. That is Vince McMahon being the scumbag that he is, signing NDA deals that were not approved. And by the way, that piece of garbage is going to go to jail for everything that he did.
Money talks,
and I hope
baby.
He does.
And money talks.
There ain't going to be enough money for him to get out of jail time for this
really?
One, sourpuss.
Look
yes.
at OG. Look at OJ. I said OG. Look at OJ.
Look, you throwing OG in jail?
No, look at OJ.
Yeah, there's a difference. Here's the difference. OJ got out of it because of the, first off, technology is very
Greg
different
Hardy?
Than it was.
Greg Hardy?
Greg Hardy went to jail for a little bit.
No, he didn't.
I thought he did.
No, he didn't. He paid off his girlfriend and sayonara.
Let me tell you something. They ain't gonna be. Nobody wants to hear what the money has. And I'm telling you something
you,
right now.
You,
I'm sure,
you plea a deal. That's
nope.
what you do.
He's going to jail, and I hope he does. He's Vince not. McMahon, screw you. You're fired.
You're
See you later.
Fired.
What's yours, sir?
Patrick Wah.
Oh, boy. We didn't get into this tonight, actually. We should have. But we
I will say this. For all you Islander fans out there, and I know there's a ton of them, and they probably listen to the show, and if they're not, hear me out on this. Lou Lamoriello was reaching. When
Sleepy
brought,
Lou. Sleepy Lou.
Sleepy Lou. I think the Islanders need to trade Lou Lamoriello. But
for what? Nobody wants him.
A bag of nuts. Honestly, Lou Lamoriello, I think, was reaching, bringing in Patrick. I think Patrick Gua is a good coach. I just don't think he fits with this veteran team. I think he would be better off working with a young team. He won the junior championships in the offseason this past year. I think that right now, when you look at the New York Islanders and the position that they're in a division that's so wide open, and you look at the Metropolitan Division, and you even look at the Atlantic Division. There's going to be at least five teams coming out of the Atlantic Division this year. That means there's only going to be three spots in the Metropolitan Division that is open.
Caller!
I will not stand for any Islander slander. Lou Lamoriello is one of the best GMs in all of hockey.
Okay.
Patrick Roy, just might as well put him in the Hall of Fame as a coach right now. Patrick Roy is amazing, right? Like, Casey Zizekas, huge fan. Matthew Barzal, who's better than that? Go Islanders. This Islanders slander is just nonsense.
He's
for a fake Islanders fan saying bad stuff about
fake
the
Islander
coach,
fan.
The GM. Fake Islander.
You're the fake Islander fan, big mouth. Oh, I'm
no,
an Islander fan. Bruin fan. Yeah, not even close?
No, love
not
the
even close? Yeah,
no, no,
I'm
no,
sure.
You,
sure.
No, I'm converted.
Yeah,
I'm
you're converted.
Converted.
Everybody
full,
converts you.
Full New York now.
Did you convert into a woman? Are you doing that soon? Are you getting the conversion?
If I did, it would be because I followed your lead.
Hey, Jeff, did you convert into a Florida State football fan too?
No, those people are mouth breeders.
Well, as big of a mouth breeder as you.
Terrific.
I didn't say. There
What's
you go. I have no idea what he meant, but there you go. Jeff, thank you for calling, bud.
Go Islanders. I can't believe that you would even talk bad about our general manager and our coach. They're doing a fantastic job.
Goodbye, Jeff. Thank God.
Oh.
That is a fake Islander fan. And of course he calls Florida State fans mouth breathers because, you know, I am a Florida State fan.
And a Duke fan.
Yes.
Go John Shire.
No, I'm not. By the way, the Duke Blue Devils are one of the hottest teams right now in basketball.
Yeah, but you hate John Shire.
I can't stand
him. You can't support him.
Can't stand him. They went from an unranked team to what, number 7 or number 6 right now?
Yeah, you said he should have been fired.
He still should. They're not winning anything.
Well,
They'll be losing in the Sweet 16.
And
baby.
What were you saying about you're better than that? You were saying something?
Yeah, I just think that right now there's going to be five teams coming out of the Atlantic. To me, the best team right now in the Eastern Conference is the Boston Bruins.
Again.
Okay? And then right behind them, I would say Carolina will take over that Metropolitan Florida. Division. And then Florida, and then the Rangers. Those are the top four teams right now in the East. Everybody else, there's a lot of questions, but I do like Detroit. I think Detroit is a good young team. I love what
Speedy
Steve Eisenman's
Detroit
doing.
Last year, too. He thought they were going to make the playoffs.
They are making it. They're making the playoffs this year. Stevie I is doing a great job over there. He's building his team from top to bottom. I'll tell you this. Stevie Eisenman, I met him in one of the drafts. He's not a nice guy, but the guy knows hockey, and he was one of the best centers to ever play the game. So I love what he's doing right now. I love a lot of these young teams that are starting to really build into something and something for the future for the NHL. So, but the Islanders, they're not making the playoffs, not the way they're playing right now. So I know Islander fans don't want to hear it, but they went on a hot streak, and ever since they brought Patrick Roy here, it's been an absolute debacle. So maybe in a full off season with Patrick Roy, that'll change.
Maybe the week off will help them. Who knows?
I think a full season, off season with Patrick Roy could change.
Well, because
everything.
Remember, they still have all of his assistants here. Lambert's assistants are still here.
I think in the off season, maybe Patrick Roy being in the off season with some of these guys, and maybe you put some of the players that he's interested in running his offense, that would be different. But as of right now, it's not working for this team. And Lou Lamoriello might be fired at the end of the season.
Well, that is our show, ladies and gentlemen. Errol, thank you so much for filling in, man. We appreciate it. Speedy, of course, thank you. As always, next week, do not forget, Nelson Silverberg is going to be filling in for Eric Bowe.
Oh, Nelly.
And then when we come back Nelly. After the Super Bowl, Eric will hopefully be back. Everything will be okay with him and everything like that. We'll be back next Friday.
Oh, Nelly, baby.
Oh, my God. Would you shut up?
Just do the Oh, Nelly.
Oh, Nelly.
Oh, there you go. Oh, Nelly. Oh, Nelly. Oh, Nelly. Oh, Nelly. I'm going to be doing that. I'm calling up next week, Nelson. I'm doing it, Mr. C, Mr. S, Mr. B, 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 B.
Who's Silverberg? All right. You can check us out on worldwidesportsradio.com, Facebook, X, formerly known as Twitter, YouTube, Periscope, Podbean. Apple Podcasts, all the Alexa smart speakers, and you can check out myself and Eric Bowe every Friday. You can check out the Sports Loudmouth with Eric Bowe, Speedy Pete with Eric Bowe.
Eric Bowe is joining the Sports Loudmouth.
With Errol Marks, you're throwing me off. With Errol Marks, Speedy Petey, and Sean Smith on, it's Wednesdays.
Just don't call us off the map.
No, stop, please.
Speedy, by the time the horse gets on top of you, you'll be off the map.
No, I'll be dead.
You can check out The Herd, The Wise Guys, The Betting Show, all that sort of stuff. You can check out The Weekend Crunch every single Saturday, either at 7 p.m. or after New York Islanders games on 103.9 FM, the LI News Radio Network. And you can also check out The Islanders pregame show with Errol and Speedy. And Errol will talk about how he's going to bash the Islanders before the game. It's perfect. Thank you so much, everybody. Enjoy your weekend of really not much going on. Try to get through it. The Super Bowl is next week. And then that is it. We look forward to March Madness, and baseball, and all of that stuff. So for Josh Silverberg, Errol Marks, Speedy Petey, we'll talk to you next week. Take care, everybody. This is Game On Live on the Worldwide Sports Radio Network. Have a great weekend.
You're listening to the Worldwide Sports Radio Network.